Hello everybody and welcome to episode 35 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I'm as always your host, Chris Lipscomb. I'm joined as per normal by editor-in-chief of thesixaxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello.
I'm also joined as per normal by editor-in-chief of ScreenDemon.com and all-around lovely guy, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Hello.
I seem to have put our Lewis off a bit today by being in a good mood, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, I'm not a big fan either.
It's confused everyone. I'm liking it. I'm liking the confusion I'm causing here. First up...
That won't last 10 minutes.
Fuck it, whatever.
I was just about to say you sound like a local radio DJ until you swore.
Meh, fuck it. Apparently some stuff happened. Was there news, Peter? Was there news?
I don't think there's been anything big this past couple of days.
Alright.
What have we... Oh, Max Payne 3 was confirmed.
Yep.
March 2012, which means that Grand Theft Auto 5 won't be coming out next year.
That's right.
It always comes out in April. And they're not going to do that, so it'll be probably 2013. Which is shit, because I wanted a new Grand Theft Auto game.
I want a new Grand Theft Auto game, but I want it to be like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I want... Yeah. Well, actually, do you know what? I would settle for HD remakes of the GTA 3.
No!
Trilogy.
I don't want GTA 3. I want GTA.
No, the top
I demand
down thing.
Original Grand Theft Auto.
You can, I think, actually, you're allowed the original Grand Theft Auto. I think it's free now. I think it's freeware, and you can download it from somewhere for,
good.
Like, nothing.
I want HD San Andreas.
Yes. That's exactly
no.
what we want.
No,
HD San Andreas.
It all went
and...
wrong when they put it into 3D.
You're a fool, Lipscomb.
Top down was better.
A damned fool.
Ridiculous things are taking a stand on. Last week it was Star Wars. This week it's Grand Theft Auto.
The only thing that the original's better in is that you could run down a line of monks.
Yes.
Yeah, the Hare
Krishnas.
Hare Krishnas,
yeah.
Yeah. In a nice cream.
I'm not sure what else you need from a game.
Substance.
Who needs substance when you can run over Hare Krishnas?
There's only so long you can be entertained by running over Hare Krishnas.
Oh.
Yeah, there's not many in Belfast.
Underestimate the amount I'm easily entertained.
I bet Brighton's crawling with Hare Krishnas too, isn't it?
I bought a book of Hare Krishna once.
Oh yeah, they do that. From a man in the street.
Yeah, it was very nice.
Oh, they are very nice. They're all lovely.
What type of book?
About vegetarianism.
Yeah, dear God. Spat in his face.
Bitten his ear off.
Yeah.
Well, quite often I eat vegetarian-type meals, and it was a book on vegetarian recipes, so I was like, oh, I'd have that then. That'd be nice.
Peter's a vegetarian. Ask him.
Yeah.
Well, this is before I knew Peter.
Oh, well.
I'm basically exclusively vegetarian.
Yeah.
Since I was 17.
This was like 4 years ago now, before I was even on the Sixth Axis. I think before I've even visited the Sixth Axis. So yeah, this was a while ago. But I do have a book by Hare Krishna book somewhere.
Was it written by Mr. Krishna himself?
I doubt it.
Why was he not much of a cook?
I don't know. I think he had his mind set on other things rather than writing cookbooks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Or his mind set on nothing. Oh, a metaphysical Hare Krishna joke.
Impressive.
There you go.
It's gone down well.
So apart from Hare Krishnas, what happened this week? Anything else?
Yeah, the Game of Thrones video game got a release date.
Is that really news?
No, probably nobody else listening to this cares, but I'm quite impressed at it.
Oh.
Does it actually look good?
Not really.
Yeah.
It looks looks okay.
So you're like, I am excited, but it does not look.
No, it's really hard to tell because they're talking about like it's going to have 3 or 4 different routes to success, and it's all going to be about backstabbing your political allies and all this sort of shit. So it's the concept is really complicated. The graphics don't look very good, and it's being made by a studio. I can't remember who's making it, but they're not really a very big studio. So, yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm a little bit dubious about it. But it's Game of Thrones, so I'm going to have to give it a go.
Hmm. That sounds pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's all kind of like RTS, but it's got this whole political ally system to it.
Well, I quite like the idea of stabbing your political rivals in the back. That seems quite, like, it could be quite interesting.
Yeah, and that's the big thing that they're hinging the whole game on, is that it's this RTS and you can fight against people and you can do it all by forming these alliances?
Yes, alliances. Have you forgotten how to say... Have you forgotten
one or the other?
I'd say alliance. Because an alliance is mutual, whereas an allegiance is like when you swear your allegiance to the king. The king doesn't swear their allegiance to you in return.
Well, it's probably going to be a bit of both in a Game of Thrones, isn't it?
Mm. That's true. That's
but anyway,
true.
You can do it peacefully, but like that, by negotiating with people, or you can do it like militarily by fighting against people.
Well, so basically, it's Civ.
Yeah, it sounds very much like that, but not as polished and based in the Game of Thrones universe, which I think sounds all right to me.
So essentially, they've made a bad Civ.
No, we can't say it's bad yet, Chris. We haven't played it. It doesn't look particularly impressive, but it might be very good. Who knows? It's being made by a French studio. I'm desperately clawing at the PR guy from the studio to try and get me some preview code.
Isn't it not out till next year? I imagine the preview code will not be very much.
No, well, last I heard, they weren't doing preview code because they were still busy trying to tune it. Because obviously in a game like that, it's all about the balance.
Well, what's the release date?
To balance all the factions. 29th of September.
Oh, that's all right then. Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I think they're probably just going to skip straight ahead to review code, which will probably be... Oh, brilliant. It'll probably arrive like 2 days before I leave for Eurogame. Fuckers.
Yeah, probably.
So it better be Mac compatible so I can bring my Mac and play it.
Oh, or it'll arrive just after you've got back from Eurogamer.
In which case I'll be dead, so it won't matter.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you know what's funny? Do you know what's immediately after Eurogamer for me?
What?
Like, considering I'm still involved in student radio, the day after Eurogamer finishes is Freshers' Fair at Sussex, so I've got to go and work Freshers' Fair for the whole day.
Oh.
So I'm going to...
That'll be enjoyable.
I'm just going to go set up music and then go to sleep somewhere. Just die.
Yeah. Just fill your iPod, shuffle, plug it in. There you go.
Oh, I've got an iPhone.
Ooh.
You've got an iPhone?
My palm broke, so I've got an iPhone on loan till I can get a replacement for my palm for motor insurance. I don't like it very much.
You're wrong.
But I will concede that one of the reasons I don't like it is because it's an iPhone 3G and therefore it doesn't have multitasking. And that is, and I will concede that is definitely a reason I don't like it, but obviously it doesn't apply on more modern iPhones.
To be honest, the multitasking on the iPhone 4 isn't great.
No, that's why
it's kind of like half multitasking.
I much prefer the multitasking in WebOS. It's awesome. And for the love of God, I just hope HP license that to someone because I really want to have more WebOS phones because I like it.
Yeah, this is the problem. You see, I don't think the hardware was very good for the WebOS phones, was it?
No, the hardware is shit.
And so basically your options at the moment with HP having dropped out of that race and the future of WebOS up in the air completely.
Yeah.
Your options are basically iOS or Android.
Exactly. And I don't really like either.
See, I use both and I really do not like Android.
I use Android at work all the time and I get consistently confused by it.
It's too bitty. There's too many different devices and there's too many different screen resolutions and there's too many different things that do different things on the operating system.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is like it's a big bonus of it being open source and everybody can code for it and that's fantastic. But what that means is that you get like on the App Store there is like a 99% shit to quality ratio.
Yeah.
Where there's an awful lot of shit on there and then there's some quality. On Android it's even higher than that.
Yeah.
And you have no way of finding that 1% of quality. It's all very confusing.
If I do get an Android phone, I think it'll probably be the... The Motorola Z, which has got a flip keyboard on it.
Oh, right.
Because
you like hardware keyboards.
I like hardware keyboards. I think I kind of need one. Yeah, it's just what I think. I can now use like virtual keyboards with iOS and whatnot, but no.
Yeah, it takes a while to get used to the virtual keyboards. Just I think it was 2 or 3 days before I could use it properly.
Oh yeah, no, but consider the fact that I developed for iOS as my job.
Yeah.
And I still can't get on with the keyboards.
I still think they should make a little attachment cradle thing for the iPhone.
Yeah, but I think it'd look crap. Imagine, I mean, that phone is already pretty bulky, in my opinion.
The iPhone?
Not for a smartphone, but compared... But I guess even compared to... My Palm was very small, but it's got much smaller...
Really?
Yeah, but it's got much smaller screen. But I like small devices. So that's just me. I like little devices. Couldn't have a BlackBerry. They're fucking huge. Plus, I hate...
Although they do make that little slim BlackBerry now.
Plus, I hate RIM.
Is it the torch?
Oh, yeah. It's...
The little looks like half a BlackBerry.
Yeah. But I don't like RIM either, so...
Anyway, this is not your smartphone podcast.
It is now. So we're talking about... No. Yeah, that'll do news. There was stuff happened. There you go. Not very much happened this week, really. Basically, there's no news because games are coming out. That's what happens.
Yeah.
There's no news about games because the games are out.
There's like 6 games out this week.
Yes. Peter, you played Driver. You finished
Driver.
The real Driver and stuff.
I very much enjoyed Driver. I've seen since I played it and reviewed it, and since then I have seen sort of mixed reviews for it. There seem to be a few people that really didn't like it. And I can't really understand that. I thought it was great. I thought it was like, it was... Basically, it was like Driver again. It was not like Driver 3, which was terrible, and then that, what was the other one called? Parallel Lines? Which I never played, but I think other people all said was pretty shit too. This was, it just felt like Driver, and it drove like Driver, and the handling was not realistic, and it was very forgiving, and it was very fun. So yeah, it was like playing Driver again. And that shift mechanic, which was the big sort of the marquee feature of it, where you can shift into different cars and you can basically, because the guy Tanner is in a coma. So the whole game takes place in his coma dream.
Yeah, I heard of that. That seemed pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things you hear it and you're like, what the fuck? Why, how the hell is that going to work? But it really does work.
I mean, to be fair, it's basically Life on Mars, but...
Yeah, the whole game has that kind of Life on Mars vibe, and you keep hearing, like, the machines beeping in the hospital, and every time you shift, it comes out, and it's like an extreme close-up of your eyeball, almost. So it's sort of, like, fuzzy around the edges. And then you shift into a new car, and you're getting, like, messages on billboards and stuff throughout the city. So it has this whole Life on Mars thing to it.
Cool.
But yeah, the shift function really works, and it's obviously you have to sort of disconnect from reality a little bit to use it, but it works and it's fun and it adds to the game and it means that you don't have to get out of the car and run around, which is kind of half of what spoiled the Driver games.
Does it venture outside the world of Brown?
Outside the world of Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really colourful.
It's all right then. That's what you want.
So there you go.
I can't be expecting a follow-up from Lewis at that point.
No, you only, just, only because we said the demo was... Well, I said the demo was Brown.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd forgotten you said that. No, it's... Yeah, it's quite colourful. And it actually looks really impressive. Some of the cutscenes, the facial textures and the character models and all that sort of shit is really, really impressive. At least on the 360 version I was playing.
So,
I think if you played the demo, if you hated the demo, then you're probably not going to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
That does tend to be like, I don't know, I'd say that comment, but it's not always, is it? I think people hate the game because they haven't actually played it and they only played the demo, if you sort of see what I mean.
Yeah.
Happens far too often. But that's what
I was quite surprised. I quite enjoyed the demo. I thought it was all right, but I mean, it wasn't great. And I was a little bit, there was some things which were a little bit confusing and maybe needed explained. But once you start playing the game and you sort of Like the whole thing, what happens to Tanner in his own car when you shift into somebody else? What's he doing? And the game doesn't really explain that. It kind of, you leap back into your own body. That's quite like Quantum Leap sometimes as well. You leap back into your own body and your partner's like, well, you were daydreaming a bit there, or you were a bit, are you talking to me again now? Things like that. So it's never really explained, but it's kind of just expected that you'll just forgive it and carry on. And once you do get over that and stop trying to make it seem realistic, it is quite fun. If although, you like arcade driving.
Although you say some of that like it's bad, but it's good, I assume.
Yeah, it's a mindset. It's not meant to be realistic. Yeah. It's meant to be a little bit kitsch and a little bit fun. And I think it achieves that quite well. And the multiplayer of it was quite good as well. There's one of the multiplayer modes, which is like tag, but you have to stay it for as long as possible. So everyone's just trying to crash into you, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can shift when somebody else is it and they're running away from you. You can shift into cars that are closer to them, or you can shift into a car like that's halfway down the block and catch them on a cross section or hit them head on.
Mm.
So yeah, it's really fun. It's different. It's something different, and we don't get that very often these days.
Cool.
That's definitely cool. Worth renting if you have any sort of interest in arcade racing, arcade driving.
Talking of games that are different, I talked about last week playing Need for Speed The Run. I couldn't talk about the other game I saw, which was Burnout Crash. But by the time this comes out, the embargo will have been up, so I can talk about it. That game, I emailed you from that event, didn't I?
Yeah.
Saying it's just really fucking good. I know that it looks stupid, and I myself said this looks stupid. I'll tell you this, I was fucking wrong. That game is good. That game is
The email you sent from the event was, fuck Need for Speed to Run, they've got Burnout Crash. I was like, what? And then you told me that it's actually awesome.
It's so good. Genuinely, that game is, even looking at people play it, they're kind of like, oh, this looks quite stupid, doesn't it? And then you actually play it, and it's so much fun. It's just, I know this isn't like what we wanted from a Crash game, but it's better than what we wanted. They've refined the Crash mechanic like so much that it's just that. It's purely that. It's all about just chaining it for as long as you can. So kind of the core mechanic of everything is, obviously, so you start off and you're driving, but you don't have any control over speed. You just move left or right. And then every time you drive, you reach like an intersection or a roundabout or something. Yeah.
Right.
And then you crash into stuff. That's how every level starts. And then from that, as you have like a detonate meter, and as you blow stuff up, it fills up. And then, like, when enough stuff's crashed, you can detonate and you'll explode, and you can move left, right, etc. You can go, kind of, what happens is you explode, and then while you're in the air, you have control over what direction you go in.
Okay.
Like,
they did that in Burnout before, didn't they? Like,
yeah,
an
aftertouch
thing.
Actual crash.
Yeah. But far more direct than that. So, because you kind of know in that, like, you'd say, I want to go left, and you kind of spin left, sort of thing. In this,
so it really sounds like, I've heard people say that it's like a pinball thing. And it really sounds like it's kind of like pinball, but you control the ball.
Yeah, it's very much like pinball. Pinball is the best comparison, actually. It's a hell of a lot like pinball. But there's like loads of different modes, and even surprisingly, Kinect works really well in it. It's going to be such a good party game, because basically what happens is, with the Kinect mode is kind of stripped down. But that's fair enough, because you want something simple for it. But the mode I saw was, so at the start, you put your hand forward and you motion like you're pulling down a, you know, like the lever on a slot machine, like the old one on Bandit machines. Pull one of those and it spins three dials, and the first one is what you're crashing, so what car you start in. Second one is where you're crashing, So it's kind of like, okay, you'll be crashing on this map. And the third one is the motion you have to do to explode. So there's apparently there's six different motions in it at the minute. And so I had jumping to explode and clapping to explode. But apparently you can also get like flap your arms like a chicken. It's one of them. That kind of stuff. So it just sounds like a brilliant party game.
And it's optional, isn't it? It's connect all the pad.
Yeah, you can connect is like one tiny bit of it. The pad stuff, there's like, I haven't got my notes on me, but there's three modes in pad when you're playing it on the pad. I tried two of them, I think. And the one that I can recall, I can't remember what it's called, but I think it was the main mode from it. But essentially what happens is the map is quite cool because it's literally a road map that shows you a list of like a load of intersections that you're chaining between, that you're kind of like, as you move along, it's like, this is the next intersection you're going to be crashing at. So it looks quite cool. And then on every one, you've got access to three different modes, which is like three different types of events. I think one is Inferno, which is when you explode, you build up. Oh yeah. You eventually build up, because all of these, while you're building at your destiny, you're also building like a bigger meter. That's like a special meter kind of thing. And then the Inferno mode, when that happens, you catch fire. And then the aim is you have to keep cars burning for as long as possible. And then when all the cars have gone out, it's game over.
Right.
And that's kind of like the end of the thing. The other one that I tried was the main mode. I can't remember what it's called. But it's you can't let like X number of cars get through the intersection unscathed. So you kind of got lives essentially. So it's like every car that gets through without you exploding it, you lose a life.
It's like a reverse defense game.
Yeah, sort of. But on that, it's very cool because as your special meter fills up, the first thing that happens. So basically, every time it fills up, you get a bonus, and the bonus is increment. So it's kind of like kill streaks in Modern Warfare, that sort of thing. So the first one is the police come along, and they'll put a police roadblock on one of the roads into the intersection. So all the ones I saw at least were crossroads. So if you've got that, you've instantly like lost one set of traffic you have to worry about, because whether they come from the left or they come, say they block the one going from left to right, or if they come at you from the left or they come at you from the right, they're going to hit the police and going to explode and you're fine. So that is pretty useful. And then the second one was, I can't remember, something cool, but I can't remember what it was now. And the final one, which I didn't quite get to, which was very awesome, was you get a tornado and you can control the tornado. And that just kind of like sweep all the cars off, which is pretty fun.
So it sounds like just like loads of meters and loads of modes and power ups and all that shit. It sounds like a proper old school like arcade game.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And it looks really fun as well. Yeah, it does. It's really good. Oh, I like that game. It was a lot of fun.
When are they talking about releasing it?
They weren't saying when it was being released. I think it's soonish, though. Maybe
it's this year, though, isn't it? It's before Christmas.
They might have already announced it. Unfortunately, I was a little bit drunk, so I did forget to ask some relevant questions.
There'll probably be a date on the post with the video.
September 20th. Yeah. So soon.
Oh, that's really soon, but it's just before Eurogamer.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. That's actually the day I fly out for Eurogamer.
Yep. But that's going to be good. That's fucking awesome. By the time you're listening to this, that will have, the embargo will have been up and the thing will have gone up tomorrow, which is Friday. My tomorrow, not your tomorrow. So you can go and read that from Friday.
We hope you're having fun in the future.
Yeah. Yes. Future people. Yes, I liked that game a lot. It was lots of fun. and it was much better than Need for Speed the Run wasn't necessarily bad, but it was much better than Need for Speed was. Plus, the difference is Need for Speed isn't out till like November, so
controversial.
They're very different games, so it's hard to say one's better than the other. But I would say,
just do it.
I enjoyed Burnout Crash more than I enjoyed Need for Speed to Run.
Our official stance is that Burnout Crash is the best driving game ever.
But Need for Speed to Run is like a lot further off from release, so there's lots of stuff that's probably just being tweaked and fixed and stuff.
You can't control tornadoes in Gran Turismo 5.
That's true. And you don't have to flap like a chicken in Gran Turismo 5.
Yep. Fuck you, Polyphony Digital. Come back to us when you have to flap like a chicken.
Don't say that, they'll do it. Oh.
Probably. That's another year onto Gran Turismo 6's dev cycle.
Like,
we just haven't got our chicken flapping dynamics just perfect yet.
It's just like, shit, someone said there was something we might want to put in Gran Turismo. It must go in. Yeah. Which seems to be how they build their features list.
But each chicken must contain 3 million polygons.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to accurately model every feather.
Yep.
And then forget to anti-alias it.
And then cover it in 12 original herbs and spices.
Oh, nice. Lewis.
Yeah.
It be competition time, my young lad. I don't know what accent that was. Okay, I just made an accent up. Yeah, it's time for the competition.
Okay.
Kind of sounded like somebody who was maybe born in Hastings but has spent most of their life living in a cave.
In Brighton.
Oh, that seems that's fairly accurate. Anyway, yes. Competition.
Yes. Last week I played you a piece of music. That was this. And that was, of course,
Spaceballs.
No.
Oh.
And it wasn't Ric Flair's entrance music.
It is Ric Flair's entrance music, though.
Yes, but it's not. It's not from that. Bowl.
Woo!
It was, of course, 2001: A Space Odyssey.
That's what you say.
That's the answer.
Oh fuck it.
Let me just grab the answers. Okay, I received 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 correct answers. So if one of you could pick a number between 1 and 7, please.
6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That is Daniel Bell, who is Danny Ken.
Oh, he's won before.
He won last week, Chris's comic competition, I think, didn't he? Did
what?
He win?
Jesus. No, Fuzz Alex won last week.
Oh, yeah. But no, Daniel Bell has won a couple of times before.
Yep.
That's what happens when you enter regularly.
Yep.
There you go. Awesome.
And I have 2 DVDs left, so if Christian, could you pick a number between 1 and 2, please?
There are no numbers between 1 and 2.
Pick 1 or 2. I won't accept decimal places, mathematical equations, algebra, or trigonometry. Or geometry.
1. 1.
1. Okay. That is X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Just as a quick question, would you have accepted the answer in binary?
The answer in binary is 1, isn't it?
Well, no, but if I'd picked 2, it would have been 0, 1.
Then no.
Okay.
No. I don't speak binary.
No.
I do.
Because you are a robot.
I was a little bit too happy about that. It does note me as quite a geek. I don't speak it very well. I do have to sit down and think about it for a little bit.
Weirdo.
I had to learn it.
He's won X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is shit. But it does have the true identity of Deadpool in it.
Apart from the Deadpool bit.
No, he's the best bit in it.
The definitive portrayal.
I particularly thought it's quite slow in the middle, but the beginning was quite good, I thought. Where they go into the... Firstly, I thought the opening sequence was really nice with them going through the wars they were in.
Well, don't spoil the film for it. He's just won a DVD.
It's like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's the best bit. You just said it. Don't spoil it.
And
so there you go.
And the Dan opening Bell, combat
turn
stuff.
It off after 3 minutes because it's all downhill from there.
And then turn it back right on the end just so that you can see what Deadpool was always meant to be like.
Yeah.
And this week's piece of music is this.
That's not music. It's just silence.
Shut your face. So, if you know the film that that is from, written for, specifically, no, it wasn't, was it? I think it was. But if you know what film that piece of music was most iconically used in, email me at lewisgaston@screendemon.com.
And if you don't know, Shazam.
What the word that Captain Marvel says to transform into Captain Marvel by being struck by a bolt of lightning.
No.
Yes, Chris. That's exactly what I mean.
Well, he does have the wisdom of Solomon, so it probably would be useful.
Probably. If you say so. Is Captain Marvel any good, Chris?
Yes, he is about as strong as Superman.
I don't mean good in that way.
Oh, as a character, yeah, I quite like him. I think he's pretty interesting. I haven't read a lot of his stuff, but the stuff I read I thought was pretty cool. And Black Adam is a cool enemy.
It's a bit racist.
Yeah, Black Adam's, he was in, I read 52 that had him in.
Yeah, and he's always, it's always fun when you see him go up against Superman, because he's magic based and Superman's weak against magic. He kind of beats the crap out of Superman.
Weak against magic? Like yes. Top Trumps?
Yes, exactly like Top Trumps. More like Pokemon, really.
Oh, we should definitely make superhero Top Trumps now.
There's lots of things like that, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, Peter.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think I might have superhero Top Trumps somewhere.
Well then, that saves you making them.
I want crap Top Trumps.
Oh, they exist.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. I want a set of crap Top Trumps.
I got my friend the car ones for Christmas. It was fun.
There's like a random one where you get like a rusty bent bicycle in the bottom of a river.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in the car one, I think. It's pretty awesome. And it was all stuff like, what was it? It was weird stuff like army vehicles and the, monorail at Gatwick and things like that. It's really bizarre things. Anyway. Yes. So what do they want to do if they want to enter that competition?
I've told them what they do.
I did. You? I wasn't really paying attention.
No,
I'd do that a lot. Oh, you're going to talk about a film, Lewis. Do you want to tell us about Hannah? Because I really want to hear about this because it looked really good in the trailer.
It is really, really good. Yeah, it was a very good film. With Eric Bana and Kate Blanchett. Don't know the name of the girl, but she was very good in it. Obviously, the girl that plays Hannah.
I was gonna say, isn't her name Hannah?
Her real name's not Hannah. No.
I was making a bad joke.
Yeah, I ignored it.
It was probably wise to say.
Which, to be honest, was the most charitable way of doing yeah. things.
No, it's really good. It's the basic plot is they don't really explain. No, they do. That's a complete lie. Eric Bana used to work for the CIA or the Secret Service. No, it's CIA. And he, Cate Blanchett killed his wife, and after that he exiled to somewhere like outer Norway or Antarctica, somewhere really remote, with Hannah, his daughter. So she grew up not knowing things in the real world, so she didn't know what music was, that sort of thing. She was just basically been living in a cabin in the middle of frozen wilderness all her life. But he's taught her how to speak like 10 different languages, how to fight, how to use guns, how to use bows and arrows. So she's just this really good, all-round brilliant sort of spy, if you like, because he's basically training her to be able to defend herself and sort of take revenge and what have you. And it gets to a point where she wants to go and find Cate Blanchett, who shot her mum. So they alert everyone to where they are, and then it all kicks off, and they basically travel around the world trying to track down Cate Blanchett and kill her. It's got quite good action scenes in it, and fight scenes, as you'd expect, but it's I didn't expect it to be as character based as it was. So for a lot of the film, you actually follow Hannah around as she tries to meet back up with her dad, because they arranged to meet back in Berlin once everything's done and dusted. So you follow her around trying to get back to Germany, and she like encounters an English family who are on a camping holiday around Morocco, and that, and she befriends them, and they're quite weird and funny. So it's got quite a bit of humour to it as well. But I didn't expect the amount of character based plot to be in as it is. So you actually get to really like Hannah, especially seeing as she's so sort of, everything's new to her, the world's new to her, so it's quite good to see her coming across things like music and electricity that she's never even seen before. So that aspect of it as well was unexpected and quite good. And then, like I say, obviously you've got the whole spy conspiracy side of it, which like I said, I think in the DVD case says it's like this generation's Leon, which to a point I'd agree with, but it's basically Leon attached with Bourne, I would say, but done
really that good.
Yeah, but done a bit more subtle. Obviously, those two films are quite in your face, aren't they? They're quite focused, and Hannah's.
Yeah, Leon had a kind of a subtle side to it as well, though, I think.
Yeah, Hannah, like I say, because of this whole section where you follow her around, there's no. She's being traced and tracked and what have you, but for the majority of the film, there's no sitting there wondering if she's going to get run over or killed within the next 2 seconds. It literally is just her bonding with this English family she meets with and trying to do normal things and things like that. So that side of it gives it a real sort of subtle edge that I didn't really expect.
Yeah, that sounds quite interesting.
It is really good.
It's quite a big claim to say that it's like this generation's Leon. They yeah, must that's, be quite that's confident what, in it to that, go with that.
I always thought that. And I looked at the DVD and thought, yeah, it's not going to be anywhere as good as Leon. And if I'm honest, it probably isn't as good as Leon, because Leon is such a classic film. So it's not as good as Leon, but it's got elements of Leon and, like I say, elements of Bourne, and it's all mixed up. And it has produced a very good film. The only dodgy thing in it is Eric Banner's accent, but other than that, there's no real flaws to it, I'd have to say.
Oh, Eric Banner's a little bit dodgy in everything, though, isn't
he? Yeah. But this is, like I say, apart from his accent, this is probably the first film that I've seen him in that I haven't wanted to punch him. He's actually got a good character, and he does well in it.
Well, still want to punch him a little bit.
And Cate Blanchett is brilliant in it. She plays like the head of the CIA. She plays a super agent in the CIA. She's got a really deep Texas accent. Which is quite weird to watch, because she's always doing English roles and what have you. But But yeah, no, she's on top form in that as well. And like I say, I can't remember the name of the girl that played Hannah, but it's the first time I've seen her, and she was brilliant in it. So yeah, I highly recommend Hannah.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her. Like, I know I don't watch a lot of films, but I don't think I've seen her in any trailers or anything before.
No.
And she did look, from the trailer, she looked amazing. So it's good to see that it carried over into the full film as well.
Yeah, and it's one of those films that doesn't do things for the sake of it. So, like, it could have had masses of car chases and explosions, but it wouldn't necessarily have fitted in with the plot. So it hasn't done any of that. It's kept it quite grounded and quite real throughout the whole thing, which really works in its favour as well. And like I say, there are a lot of funny moments in it. Like this, the English family that she befriends, they're really odd. And they're in Morocco and they're having dinner and they're chatting to each other and discussing parental techniques and parental stuff like that. And so the mum of this English family asked Hannah, she's like, "Oh, where's your mum?" And she went, "Oh, she's dead." Like that, really blunt and cold, because she's been trained to be quite unsympathetic and have no pity, that sort of thing. So this woman's going, like, really patronising. She's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It must be so hard growing up with a mother. And what did she die of?" And Hannah just turns around and went, "Three bullets." So there's little humorous moments in it as well, which are good to see. It's not just a full-on sort of tense film.
I'd say it also, to me, kind of sounded like quite... from the trailer, seemed quite thoughtful in places as well.
Oh yeah, no, it's very
like quite clever and interesting, rather than just that here's an action film.
No, and there is a, I wouldn't say a twist, because it's not one of those. It's not like The Sixth Sense. It's not a twist that's going to completely change the theme of the film. But there is a certain twist in it which you will probably see coming, or you will probably gradually come to realise. But that sort of changes things, because it changes what you've come to believe, and it may change a few of the relationships that you've sort of come to like. So to that element as well is quite good. But yeah, I overall thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it sounds quite interesting.
Très cool.
This is on DVD.
Mm.
Cool. That might be my homework for this week then.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed Hannah. Because I went to get Attack the Block, but Blockbuster lied.
Is it out yet?
Out on the 9th.
Ah. It's only been out in the cinema in America for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's only gone to like 9 cinemas in America, in the entire America, because obviously it's a small British film.
Oh.
But over here, it's due out on DVD soon, but Blockbuster have got the exclusive rental rights to it. So from the 9th, it's available. But I looked on their website and it said out now, so I went down there and... They went, "No, it's not out till the night."
Lying bastards.
Yeah, so I got Hannah instead.
People wonder why retail rentals are going up the shitter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wankers.
Fuckers.
On a little side note, I just clicked a link that popped up in Twitter to Kotaku. I don't know why I do this to myself. Kotaku have just published a story, which is all about the Japanese fetish with... which could be the start to about 50% of stories on Kotaku.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Girls licking doorknobs.
What has that got to do with anything?
I don't know. It's Brian Ashcraft who has posted this story. It's not a story, it's just a series of pictures of Japanese girls licking doorknobs. Which is basically just a substitute for blowjob porn.
Mm.
And it is. All the images are just like, you could substitute that doorknob with a cock, and this would be total pornography.
Yep. Peter, you might want to check your email as well.
Oh, really? Do I have to?
No, genuinely, as in breaking story, might want to check your email.
Okay, loading my email.
The other Peter...
Is it going to be as important as girls licking doorknobs?
If it's from the other Peter, and if he's right, it's pretty important.
Okay. The other Peter?
There's two Peters now. It's terribly confusing.
Who's the other one?
Is a guy called 000.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was Peter.
Yeah, it's terribly confusing. I don't like it.
He's the substandard Peter, obviously.
Well, of course.
Yeah, Peter's the original,
still the best.
We shouldn't say that he listens to this podcast. We don't mean it, Peter. You're nice. I like you.
Do you know what I've just realised?
What?
CB, Chaosbringer.
Oh, Jesus. Bit
it was,
weird.
It was fate.
It was indeed fate.
There you go.
Fatey, fate, fate.
Weird.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, yeah, well, I suppose we can say because it'll be way past. It's a screenshot taken from Steam website that references Xbox stuff.
Yeah.
Xbox support.
Yeah. So, if that's a thing, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly interesting, at the very least. Yeah, and if that's a non-story, I can just cut it out.
Pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
Like Stalin.
Exactly. Well, like people pretend Stalin never happened. It seems quite difficult.
You mean the Holocaust?
No, Stalin used to... Stalin killed, like, 3 million people or something. But yeah. He used to, when he killed people that were in his government, when he had them, like, done away with, like, high-profile people, he used to go back through their photographs and airbrush them out of photographs.
I know, I was just being sarcastic.
Oh. Fine. Fuck me and my exposition, then.
I did all about Stalin in college. I thought he was quite interesting as a dictator. Completely mad, but quite an interesting chap.
Indeed.
Killing all his generals directly before going into war was certainly an interesting move.
Well, it's a strategy.
It's just like, right, what we're going to do, we're going to kill these generals, and then, immediately afterwards, war. I'm thinking this will work well.
Why wouldn't it? What could possibly go wrong with our plan?
Yeah.
Maybe you just got a bit too excited about war and started a bit early. He got impatient. Maybe he was just impatient. He was misunderstood and impatient.
But perhaps it was just, I want to kill some people where I've killed my generals. Well, that felt good. If I go to war, I can kill more people.
Exactly.
That's what gave him a taste for it.
Yep. Exactly.
Do you reckon they'd finished the last biscuit or they'd just left the tiniest little bit of milk in the fridge so he didn't have enough to make a cup of tea? And that just set him off. And then he like, went right on a spree, killed all his generals and was like, fucking hell, that was enjoyable. Where next?
Yeah, the biscuit that started Stalin.
I mean, to be fair, obviously it's hard to say to be fair when you're referencing Stalin. But given his own rise to power and that sort of thing, and also the general kind of feeling of revolution and that sort of thing, it did sort of make sense that he saw them as a threat.
Yeah, I thought when you started that sentence with "to be fair," I thought it was going to be some weird sort of equality claim. Other tin pot dictators are available.
No, but I mean,
may want to experience Pol Pot.
But take your glasses off first.
I mean, obviously he was completely bonkers. But yeah, it's to an extent it sort of makes sense.
It goes hand in hand. You have to be bonkers to be a dictator.
Yeah, same people don't become dictators.
No.
Or does it go hand in hand? Do you become a dictator and then you go nuts?
No.
Because of all the power.
Power crazy.
You start off normal and then someone's like, you know what, we could just gold plate this whole room. And you're like, oh, seems all right.
They do, don't they?
It just sort of
and then kill the person that gold plated it.
Yeah. It just sort of goes downhill from there.
Yeah, dictators seem to have this crazy obsession with gold-plating things.
Yep.
Did you see, there was video from, speaking of crazy dictators, there was video from inside Gaddafi's palace. Yeah.
Just...
And he had a massive Prince of Persia poster.
Quick, what a loser.
Quick question.
Like a big square, well, it wasn't like a poster, it was like an oil painting. But I don't know if it was just probably traditional art that just looked very similar, but it really looked like the front cover of Prince of Persia.
How How did we all get? How did we get onto this?
Well, because this is the podcast. This is what we do. If it was on topic, people wouldn't listen at all.
Yeah,
that's a point. Oh.
Shall we move on? Shall we talk about something more relevant?
I do have to say that even for us, that was quite off topic.
Yeah.
Just straight into the realms of, are they actually, like, let's discuss dictators for a bit.
Why not? Global politics from 60 years ago.
Oh.
So what about our Duke Ferdinand?
On next week's podcast, Hitler.
Next week's breaking news section. Yeah. Archduke Ferdinand shot in the Balkans.
Oh.
Dear. I've heard about a plot for JFK as well.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Hopefully that doesn't come to fruition.
No one wants to kill him. He seems quite nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I was watching all the Bill Hicks stuff last week. BBC 4 ran a documentary about Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Or like kind of like a documentary. And then they showed a stage show and he does a whole routine about JFK and how fucking utterly ridiculous it is to think that he was actually shot by Lee Harvey Oswald from that window.
Mm.
It's very funny. Bill Hicks was a very funny man.
He was. He was a very angry man.
He was.
I still don't know what I believe about that.
I think
that's
really just because he saw the things that you should be angry about.
Mm.
Yeah. Don't know what I believe about that shooting, about the assassination.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe about it, but I think believing the official line is ridiculous.
Rubbish. Yeah.
Yeah. The magic bullet that did three about turns and kept its trajectory.
Physics is crazy though.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but it does have a strict set of rules.
No, but what I mean is all the stuff like about his head going the wrong way and that kind of thing that people are always going on about. I'm like, well, physics is weird. That sort of stuff does kind of might happen because physics is odd.
Yeah, it's more the 56 eyewitnesses that say that they saw somebody on the grassy knoll.
Yeah,
shooting.
I mean, that's
kind of stands out a bit more.
Yeah. Which is something that doesn't get very, discussed very much when they're talking about it for some reason.
No. My brother once went to Dallas and he saw it. They have an X painted on the road at the point of impact, which is really weird.
It's really grim, isn't it? And it's the fact that it's apparently because it's still an open road. So people trying to get like souvenir photographs, like quickly dashing in and out of traffic to get a picture.
Yeah, well, no, my brother didn't do that. He pulled some grass from the grassy knoll and put it in an envelope and sent it home to me.
Ah, interesting.
Not really. I got an envelope full of little dried bits of grass, and they didn't smoke very well.
Did he even note it? Did he just send you the grass, and that was it?
Yeah, no, he told me what it was. Did just send me a little Ziploc bag full of dried up grass.
You're like, oh, he's clearly having a good time. Oh, God, we should say something about things that are on this list that I wrote.
It's got a list.
It just does seem like a thing that should happen.
My iPad screen went to sleep. I went off on a tangent. I can't help it.
Oh, dear.
1 minute I'm looking that we're supposed to be discussing the Green Arrow and Action Comics reboot. Next thing, iPad screen goes to sleep. Dictators.
Ideally, if the timeout was just long on your iPad, we'd be fine.
Yeah. We would. That would make for a much more professional podcast.
What's weird is I've just remembered that we went from Japanese girls licking doorknobs to dictators.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's even harder to link.
Yeah, okay. Things that are actually like a tiny bit relevant.
Should we talk about comics, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I haven't read Green Arrow. Let's talk about Action Comics first, because we both read that. Well, have you read it?
No, I haven't read it, I thought that I bought it last night, but it turns out it was Detective Comics that I bought.
Oh, well, you can talk about Green Arrow then, and I'll talk about Action Comics in a bit.
Alright, Green Arrow is the first Green Arrow book that I've read.
Have you not read Quiver? You should read Quiver. No. Quiver's really good.
Yeah, that's Kevin Smith, isn't it, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It's mental, absolutely fucking mental, but it's really good.
I wanted that, but I can't find it anywhere. I've tried to get it from a couple of places and they're sold out.
I read it at the library.
At the library?
Yes.
Library.
Yes, I did. That's where I read all things.
Yeah.
I read it at the library this morning.
Sounds like someone that they rent out labia.
Now there's a business opportunity.
Bring it back in 3 days, 5p overdraft, every day it's out.
The problem is, I read, I get all my word pronunciations from watching LOLO.
Good morning.
Anyway, Green Arrow. This is my first experience at Green Arrow. I thought this would be a good opportunity to get in on the Green Arrow stuff because it's rebooting from the start, so it would be starting at the beginning. It doesn't start at the beginning.
It's because it's not really a reboot. It's sort of a reboot, but also not really.
Well, I would... Yeah, I'd kind of like to know how he got to be the Green Arrow and who he is and all this sort of shit, but instead it just goes, look, here's a guy that wears green, like, high-tech body armor, for a start.
Yeah.
I always thought he was like a Robin Hood dude.
He's like Bruce Wayne, he's billionaire.
Yeah. He has this crazy bow that sort of extends itself. Like monkey staff.
Again, because he's a billionaire.
And he has this magic quiver that basically just gives him whatever arrow he might need for any particular instance, even though he's picking them up from the feather end every time. It's, I don't know how he knows what one he's getting, because they all have different attachments on the pointy end that does different things.
Yeah.
But he lifts them out from the feather end and somehow knows what they're going to do.
Or maybe the feathers are, like, slightly different or something.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe he checks their weight.
Yeah.
It strikes me that you might get your ass kicked if you're bumbling about in a gang, in a mob of gangsters. Fidgeting
or
at your arrows.
Perhaps his arrows are like, the quiver is segmented, so he knows where to reach to get the right arrow out.
Perhaps. That is an option.
Which does kind of seem the most logical option as well.
Perhaps all of his arrows have all functions on them, and he just has a little switch.
Checks
them off. Although, it doesn't make any sense, because some of them are just arrows.
True. He has an arrow in this thing. That he shoots into the dashboard of a boat, which allows his sidekick, who is like some high-tech whiz thing with like banks of computers and stuff, basically, I think it's basically like the Oracle.
Yeah.
Allows her to control the boat.
Yep.
He shoots an arrow into the control panel, and then all of a sudden she has control of the boat.
Yep.
It's very weird. I didn't really like the Green Arrow.
Oh, Green Arrow is good though. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the idea has always appealed to me. Of the Green Arrow, because it is kind of a Robin Hood story. He's like a billionaire, and then doesn't he get, in the origin story, doesn't he get stranded on like a desert island or something?
Oh, I don't actually know what Green Arrow's origin is. I just read Quiver. That's kind of like a second origin, which works really well.
But then he ends up like using his, he's a billionaire, but he's inherited the company, and he ends up using the company, all the company's money to fight crime, or, I don't know, the idea has always appealed to me.
That's familiar.
Yeah.
But he's also way, way, way more unstable than Batman.
Is he?
He's like, yeah, he's crazy unstable.
Oh, there's going to be a bit of insanity. I might keep reading.
In Cry for Justice, he just starts, instead of being like normal superhero, he just starts shooting villains in the head with an arrow. Just kind of seemed more, I think it kind of just went, oh, this is more, much more efficient. If I just do it this way, I don't need any trick arrows. Just normal bolt straight between the eyes, done.
Okay.
Yeah. He's always a bit mental.
Yeah, well, this book, I kind of expected it to be a bit of an introduction to Green Arrow, and it kind of wasn't.
Oh, well,
and I was a little bit disappointed that it all seems to be like a high-tech thing. If it's a high-tech thing, use a fucking gun.
Well, it's...
Arrows went out of fashion years ago.
Yeah, but you can't have bullets that have, like, different things.
Judge Dredd did it.
Yeah, you can. You got hollow points, you got...
Yeah, but the result of them all is you get shot.
Judge Dredd has bullets that bounce off stuff and bullets that just stun perps.
Yeah, but they don't have bullets that have a boxing glove on the end.
Does he have an arrow with a boxing glove on the end?
Yes.
He has an arrow with boxing glove on the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't really a big fan of Green Arrow.
I haven't read that one yet, though, but I like Green Arrow. He's cool. He's not as good as Hawkeye. Hawkeye's way cooler. Particularly Ultimate Hawkeye, when he's just...
Oh.
Ultimate Hawkeye, when he's not just like an archer, when he's just like anything as a weapon. Because last week was the first issue of Ultimate Hawkeye, And talk about Ultimates as well. I was really irritated because Ultimate Spider-Man's been pushed back a week, but it does make sense because this is like the first real week of DC relaunch. So it'd be mental to try and relaunch Ultimate Spider-Man this week. It'd be fucking insane. But anyway, on my point, he's kind of staying there and this about to shoot someone, and then like this guy, like superpowered dude, like zaps the thing out, like zaps the bow out of his hand, but then throws him backwards, like through a glass window, and he just goes, "Great, you just threw the guy who can use anything as a weapon through a glass window. Well done," and just picks up a bit of glass and nails the guy right between the eyes with it, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't like the way you like Marvel stuff far more than you like DC stuff.
And there's also a bit when he is held captive and he and like they've taken everything away from him, and to finally actually have a weapon, he rips out his own fingernails and then kills a guy with his fingernail.
Why doesn't he just use his hands as a weapon?
Because he
just leave your fingernail attached to your finger and use that to kill.
Well, because he's kind of like strapped down and stuff.
Poke his thumb through the eyes.
Well, never mind.
Squeeze off a particularly potent fart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, Action Comics is very cool. So in this, Superman is, kind of a dick, but
Superman is a dick,
but also not really. Just more like, what's the best way to describe this? So he is a very, very public vigilante in it, taking down like crime bosses and stuff, but he's kind of like a dick about the fact that he's doing it. So just because he knows that the police can't hurt him, just does it like immediately in front of the police. just basically drops this guy off a building, catches him at the last second and hoists him up by his collar and just goes, "Right, are you going to confess?" And the guy's like, it's just a gibbering wreck confessing in front of all these police. Heavily armed, like a SWAT team rolls up to take Superman out, and he just kind of leaps away. So yeah, he's kind of a dick in it.
Overconfident.
Yes, yeah, definitely overconfident, I would say as well. This is really early in his career, though, as being a superhero. It's like 6 months after he started being Superman.
But he can fly.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Just checking.
Yeah, he can fly.
Well, Superman couldn't fly for the first few years.
Yeah, but this is obviously a reboot, so.
I'm just clarifying how far they've gone with the reboot.
Yeah. There was also a funny point when, which I found amusing as a geek, because it was just when he picks this guy up to throw him off the building, and the guy just shouts, "Somebody save me," which was obviously the theme tune to Smallville.
Obviously.
How could no one know that? That amused me, but mostly because I'm a weird geek. Yes, but I felt it was quite enjoyable, personally. I don't want to give away the ending, but the ending is good, and also lots of Lex Luthor in it, which is always good. I love Lex Luthor. And kind of throwing Lex Luthor in like immediately, and giving him a reason to hate, and explains as well, because sometimes like the reason that Lex Luthor hates Superman always seems a bit wishy-washy here, and they're kind of, you know, that he hates him when he's an alien and that sort of thing. Here it's very clearly set out, because in like first book of the reboot goes, okay, this is why I dislike Superman, for these very good and actually quite scientific reasons that he dislikes Superman. I'm like, oh, brilliant. Right, I understand that character. Fantastic. Well done, DC. Done a good job.
How do you think DC are doing with this reboot so far?
Let me put it this way. 2 books this week, before they went on sale, were announced that they're getting second printings.
Right, so they are selling well.
And JLA is a week after JLA was went on sale. It's been announced it's going on to a third printing.
Yeah, I heard that JLA was selling particularly well, and they've put obviously an awful lot of a push into the digital stuff with this reboot as well. Yeah, they're doing which they never used to do. They're doing same day release.
Exactly.
Digital.
But for stuff to go on to like a third printing so quickly is really unusual.
It sounds like it's getting an awful lot of good positive buzz.
Yeah.
And it's selling well for them, which is really good to hear because comic books haven't been selling well.
Exactly. It's more a question of how sustainable is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously they're launching 52 new books this year.
Exactly.
This month.
Yes.
So how many of them do you think will still be around this time next year?
Quite a few, but it's literally just going to be sales, I think. And you can't predict what's selling. Because apparently Animal Man is selling incredibly well, who's a character I've never even heard of before.
Yeah, he was in 52 as well. He draws his power from animals.
Yep. And on the front cover, he has blood coming out of his eyes in this. Whatever. Bit mental. But, I haven't read very many of the new 52 yet because yesterday I went to the park in between picking up comics and going to Kung Fu. Because what I do is I go and have like a bit of like a small dinner before I go because obviously I need food, otherwise I'll just pass out when I'm in the middle of Kung Fu because I'd be like so hungry, need energy. And I go and sit in the park and read comic books and eat. And I got sat down, went, all right, let's read some comics, and went and read like all the Marvel books I'd bought, but none of the DC books I'd bought, and I just go, oh, oops, probably should have read some DC books right then. Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
You are such a weirdo.
I just like Marvel more. What was weird about any of that story?
First of all, you went to a park. Second of all, you went to a park and read comics.
Yes. How is either of those
weird?
Do
I need to go on?
Why is either of those weird? Those seem fairly normal things. There's lots of parks in Brighton. It's nice.
It's weird to go to a park and read comics.
It's not really that weird.
It's a little bit weird.
Why?
Because it's weird.
Like, I went there.
Was the weather nice?
No, it's a bit crappy. I say normally it's been quite nice for the last few weeks. But last week I went there and there was a dude practicing mixology. You know, like
a dude practicing what?
You know, like when you're doing like the you flip the bottles and stuff for making cocktails.
Yeah.
Oh, I can understand that though. That's space and
yeah, that's dude there doing.
You need room to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I used to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh.
My brother does that now.
I was really shit at it.
Yeah.
I was really good at all the mixing stuff, but was really bad at all the flare stuff.
Yeah, so he was doing loads of flare stuff, and it was really cool. But it was pretty interesting. So
that's less weird.
Sat and read comics and watched that.
I don't know. I think it's maybe a little bit weirder to be in a park spinning bottles than it is to be in a park reading a book.
Yeah. Say if it wasn't a comic, say it was a novel, would that be weird?
Yeah, I just find the whole process of going to a park to read weird.
I'm not really sure. Peter, is this weird? Or am I not seeing something?
Now, hold on. Lewis, have you got and have you always had a garden?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have a garden.
Would you maybe go into your garden and read a book sometimes if it was a nice day?
Briefly.
Do you read books?
Yeah.
I just felt that was an important part to nail down.
I don't know.
Back to basics.
Books aren't for outside.
Really?
Keep them inside, people.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure reading a book outside is the most unusual thing that's been like done ever.
It's pretty high on my list.
My brother always used to read books in the bath.
I
always thought that was weird.
I don't think that's that unusual, but I do find it
awkward. No, that's not weird.
I find that awkward because I'm afraid I'm going to drop the book in the bath. Plus,
that's the only problem.
Plus, I don't really have baths. I have showers, so you can't really read a book in the shower. It will get wet.
No. You can't drink a cup of tea either. You never finish it.
Oh, lovely. Comic competition. So I've just got to move on. I should just fucking cut my losses and carry on.
What else do you do in park?
Oh God, go for a walk, run, play tennis, play cricket, play football.
Oh dear.
Oh, so you do normal things in parks?
Yeah. I'm fairly sure reading outside is a normal thing.
A paper, maybe.
What? But
there need to be rules. Papers, fine. But oh, comics, no.
But can you not imagine, like, say...
Anything that's stapled is a no-no.
Yeah.
Say you were at work and you worked next to a park and you went, you've got a book and you go, all right, well, I'm going to go for a nice walk in the park for my lunch and read my book. Is that unusual?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Do you just hate the outside? Is that it, Lewis?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that why it's weird? It's just like fucking outside places. Oh, God.
I don't like the sun. That doesn't help.
See, I can kind of identify because I hate anywhere that's a public space that might have public in it. So if there's likely to be people there, then I don't like it. But then I am also a fan of the people avoidance prop, which a book fits into quite well. Nobody will talk to you if you're reading a book.
Yeah, headphones work very well.
Yeah.
It's just suspicious.
I think small arms fire works quite well too.
Right, no, just, we're stopping this now. We're cutting
like,
this
what
off.
What are you hiding? Right. What are you waiting for? You look right. Like you're doing some sort of shady deal where someone's going to pass a briefcase under the bench.
Oh, Jesus.
Lewis, or doing some sort of spying that you shouldn't be doing in a park. You know, trying to hide behind the book. Oh, I'm reading. When actually, in fact, you're looking at the children.
There we go.
Or they're just reading a book.
Yeah, but no, they're not. Read inside. This is my problem. People that read outside are suspicious.
What about on the train?
Suspicious. Why would you... No, trains is alright. Like, it depends what type of train. If you read on a tube... if you read on a tube train, then that's suspicious.
But then you could, no, it's not. You could spend, like, 45 minutes in the tube if you live, like, right in North London or something.
This is, like, weird... like, one of those weird rules of Victorian etiquette or something. There's, like, a whole load of rules Lewis has that we don't understand. It has to be the right kind of reading material, the right kind of environment, and it depends what kind of train it is. Do we have to consider air pressure?
I keep expecting you to go, you may only read books in the study. That is the place for reading.
Yeah, but no, there need to be rules.
No, there don't. Not about reading. Oh, jeez, no. There's no reason to have rules about reading.
Well, there has to be some rules. Like, you shouldn't go reading in a park if you're completely naked.
I'm not sure the problem with that is the fact that you're reading.
But, I mean...
it would be the number one reason. And then you'd go to, why are you naked? It'd be like, excuse me, do you realise you're reading? Oh, and you're naked.
Would you mind putting the book away, sir, please? Oh, yeah. And cover up your bollocks while you're at it.
Oh.
No, but it's just weird.
I'm imagining some weird totalitarian state ruled by Lewis now, where you're just, you murder people and the police don't give a shit, but reading a park.
Designated reading areas.
Are you allowed to read on a train if it's like the user's manual for the train because the train is broken down? Would you excuse that?
Only if you've been qualified to fix the train. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to read it and then you'd be back to suspicious.
But like if the train breaks down and the driver's like, oh, I don't know what this button does. We have to get this thing going.
The driver can read it.
Right, okay. As long as nobody else is in the room with him.
Yeah, that well, like if a committee had started to form to fix the train, they could share the information. But it'd be weird if you just got up and started reading it.
All right, genuinely, no, we have to stop. This has to stop now. This has gone. This is like 20 minutes of where you can and can't read.
But why would you read outside? That's what read indoors, on a sofa, in an armchair, in your bed.
Oh, Peter, is this weird? Peter, would you read outside? Yes.
On the very rare occasion, I would read outside.
And if you were outside and someone else was reading, you would not find it a source of comment.
No, not really.
Or if they were reading on a tube.
No, that would be probably normal.
I'd say reading on the tube's fairly normal.
Well, don't come crying to me when you get attacked by the person reading and you weren't even suspicious of it.
What about if you get like a text message and are you allowed to read from your phone?
Phones are fine.
Okay. but what about if I was reading like an e-book on my
that's
phone?
That's what I was going to say.
If you're reading a book on your phone, that's a bit weird because phones are too small to read books on. If I saw you reading a phone, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, he's reading a book because it's too small.
You'd just be thinking, I've got a really long text message.
Yeah. Or you're checking the web or something like that. Doing something normal.
Oh, so it's okay to surf the internet from a public park?
No, that would be weird again. if you're on your own, just reading the net, that again, why?
Can we just leave just as Lewis is crazy and for the love of God, move on? Because this, I don't even know what's going on. I don't understand. Right, comic competition. Last week we said, I have to stop. Last week we said, we asked you how many DC number ones, I don't know what I'm saying anymore, Lewis, it's just broken my head. right. Last week we asked you how many DC number one comics are being released as part of the new DCU line. The answer is 52, of course. I had four winners. Lewis, do you want to pick a number between 1 and 4?
Pi.
3.1 is around so 3. That goes to Daniel Bell.
Oh my
god!
What
again? He won the DVD.
Did he?
Like a bumper winner.
Do we want to give him both? I think that's fair to give him both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well done. Right, it was my bag.
Oh, I really hope he wins a Wolverine comic.
By the way, I'm also topping this bag up again soon, so there'll be even more comics to win.
You need to send me that guy's address for the Daredevil comic.
Yeah, I will do. Right. So as per normal, what do we want? Top, middle, or bottom, Peter?
Oh, I feel like I'm on The Price Is Right. Was it The Price Is Right?
It's Make Your Move or something like that.
Come on.
Middle.
Right.
I only say the middle because I assume it's harder to get them out from the middle.
A little bit, not particularly.
Every little helps.
You've won Batman Detective Comics number 876.
Oh, that's my favourite.
Good vintage.
The free comic book day Amazing Spider-Man. Which is actually really good. Supreme Power, number 1 of 4. Which is also really good. I've only got three.
Number 1 and 4?
No, number 1 of 4.
Oh.
It's 2. There we
are. What's the God of Thunder doing in there?
Hurt Fear Itself. I don't know what number that is. I think... And the Green Arrow Industries Flashpoint one shot.
Ooh,
there you go.
Green Arrow.
which is actually topical. Quite good. Yeah.
Not according to Peter.
Well, it's a different one. So well done, Daniel Bell, winning two things in a week.
That's what happens when you're a regular listener and you enter our competitions.
Yeah.
And remember, don't read them outside.
And I haven't really thought about this. I need to think of questions more often. What's a good question? Peter, you think of a question?
What type of hat does Batman wear in Red Sun?
Yeah, there you go. That's quite difficult.
Sorry, Peter, I just...
We could do that. I think that's quite a tricky question.
That's a really good question, but it's really difficult.
Yeah, you would have to, like, pretty much own a copy of Red Sun. I don't think that's going to be on the Wikipedia page for Red Sun. And Batman turns up wearing this hat.
We could just... we could hint at it in the post for the podcast. No, that would take too much work.
Peter, think of a question.
Yeah, it also won't happen. Alright, here is a good question. How many years last week we talked about the JLA book. How many years into the past is that set?
Oh, shit. I don't even know that.
It's in the book.
I read it.
It's in the book, and you'd easily find that like on Wikipedia and stuff. So there, that's quite a good question.
Okay. What you're basically saying is type JLA into Wikipedia. You'll find the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's great. To win our competitions, you just need Shazam on Wikipedia.
Right.
It doesn't matter because Dan Bell wins them all anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're not Daniel Bell, I don't know why you don't why you bother entering, really. Lewis, tell me about Little White Lies.
They're lies that people tell when you want to not hurt someone's feelings.
Tell me about the film Little White Lies.
It's a French film.
Obviously.
And it stars Marion Cotillard. That is all you need to know.
You can't watch films that are English. That'd be ridiculous.
I watched Hannah. Although they do speak a lot of foreign languages now.
So you're like, it's close enough.
Okay. Yeah. There's got to be a ratio, you know, like 64% or above got to be in foreign language.
That seems reasonable.
At least 64%, yeah.
64%.
Yeah.
So it has to be over 2/3.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No, 2/3 is 66%.
Oh, yeah, no, just under 60.
Just under 2/3.
Just under 2/3.
it's a French film with Marion Cotillard and a load of other French people. And it's about a group of friends that are more like a family unit. And every year they go to... one of the friends is owns a hotel. He's really rich. He's got a summer house and a boat. So they all go out there every year for the same holiday. But this year, one of them gets knocked off his bike and is put in hospital. But they all decide to go anyway. And it's just basically a big sort of character drama. So you get to obviously bond with them. There's families, there's children, there's single people that live in a bit of a life of doing what they want, and they've all got their own personalities and what have you. And it's, I think it's about 2 hours long, and it is good, but all the way through you're starting to you're thinking, I wonder where this is going. But it is just purely character based, so there's no sort of dramatic plot to it or unrealistic elements to it at all. But at the end, when the main plot point does happen, you realise how connected you got to the characters. It was quite a weird feeling. You then thought, oh shit, I actually really like all of these people. They're all quite flawed in their own ways and they've got their own issues going on. So yeah, it's just a story about life, basically. And that's, I know it probably meant that sound really boring, but it's actually really interesting. And like I say, when it gets to the end, that's when it hits you how much you've actually connected to everyone involved. Oh. So yeah,
I remember seeing the trailer for that, but I didn't see it in the end. But it did look quite cool.
Yeah, no, it is good. Like I say, there's nothing more else you can say to that, because that's all it is. It's just about their lives and what's happening with them, basically.
Awesome. I very, very quickly, let's see if I can do this. All right, I've got 20 seconds. So I played The Bakening, which is a new Deathspank game. The review should be out soon, hopefully. That game is quite long for a download game. I think it's all right, but it's not necessarily a game I particularly enjoy in the genre, and the humour is also a bit hit and miss. There we go, that's 20 seconds done. So, moving on, time for the quiz.
Okay, I kind of forgot about quiz.
All right, so moving on.
I do have one, but it's just like a music intro thing that I had ready. You know, we did one before.
Oh, when the time you didn't have enough time before, you mean?
Huh?
The other time when you ran out of time to make one.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the quiz and stuff. So I can't think of a theme to quickly find stuff. So I can do another intros round to just normal songs.
Excellent.
If you want.
Yes.
All right.
Let's cool. Go.
There are 20 of them. Ooh.
20.
Yeah.
We just
my
do the
mini
first
pen might run out of ink.
Oh wait, is this a they're all mixed up together thing?
They're not, no, this is just they're only short clips, but I can play them.
But I mean they're like one after the other sort.
Yeah,
of.
One after the other. They're not mixed in like Tough Cubs.
No, yeah.
So I'll just press play and it'll go through all 20 of them.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And then we'll do that way.
Cool.
So have you got 1 to 20?
No, I've got 1 to 14. 15.
I'm already done. Peter is slow.
Peter's using a pen.
20. There.
Okay. So I'm just going to hit play. Okay. Go. I got a message. So there you go.
I got three.
You got three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got many either. I've answered several, but probably not very many right.
You've only got three, Chris.
I'm bad with songs.
Number one.
No. Mm.
I thought that kind of sounded like The Levellers, but...
It is The Levellers.
I couldn't tell you what the song was called.
What a Beautiful Day.
What a Beautiful Day. Hey, hey, yeah. I used to really like The Levellers.
Number two.
No.
Kind of thought that was Katie Tunstall, but couldn't tell you what the song's called.
It is Katie Tunstall, Big Black Horse and a Cherry Tree.
Okay, sounds like a night to remember. Do I get half a point for each of them?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a point for the artist as well.
Oh, excellent. Definitely going to beat Chris then.
Number three.
No. That was California by...
How did you not get that, Chris? He said it.
That was California by Snoop Dogg and Tupac and Dr. Dre.
Yes. Number whatever the four.
Didn't get four.
Chris?
Oh, no.
Number four was Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Number five?
Yeah, didn't get five.
No.
Fast Car, Tracy Chapman, number six.
Oh, yeah. My sister-in-law's called Tracy Chapman.
That's good to know.
Number six was Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
It was.
I got the wrong one.
You put Oops, I Did It Again, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Did you write Britney Spears? Because you get a point for the artist.
I did know it was Britney Spears.
Interesting fact, I used to play and sing that song. On the guitar.
Did you, the Travis version?
Well, more like my own version.
Oh, right.
But yeah, based on the...
Do Travis. I get a point for knowing it was Britney Spears?
Yeah.
You get a point deducted for only knowing Britney Spears songs so far.
minus 1 point.
Number seven.
I point out, I don't have anything till 17 now.
Oh, Jesus. Number 17. I wrote
17?
No, number 7, sorry. I wrote Wish That? Is it Rod Stewart? I Wish That I Knew What I Know Now?
No.
When I Was Younger? No?
No. What did you say, Chris?
Oh, I haven't got anything till 17.
Oh, number 7 was I'm Yours, Jason Mraz.
Oh.
Number 8.
Was number 8 The Entertainer?
No, number 8 was My Baby Just Cares For Me, Nina Simone. Number 9.
Number 9, was that Mambo Number 5?
No, that was Pencil Full of Lead by Paolo Nutini.
Oh, of course it was.
Number 10.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't actually read my own writing. Oh, number 10 was Ride On Time.
Yes, Black Box. Number 11.
Didn't get number 11.
Rotterdam, Beautiful South.
Ah.
Number 12.
Is that a song called Sacrifice?
It is Sacrifice, Elton John. Number 13.
Okay, I didn't get the song. It was Kings of Leon, but it wasn't Sex on Fire.
It was Sex on Fire.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I did get the song.
Number 14.
No idea.
Someone Like You, Adele. Number 15.
Is that song called Ain't Superstitious?
Superstition. Stevie Wonder, number 16.
It was Thriller.
It was Thriller. Number 17.
I'm not under even ticking these correct, Chris.
17 was Under the Bridge.
It was.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'm afraid it was the much superior All Saints cover version.
No, it wasn't.
It is superior, though.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. You're wrong in both counts.
Except maybe the video.
I'm winding Peter up.
I'm not allowed to like All Saints. I once said, when All Saints first came out and they were like the rivals to Spice Girls, I read an article about them in Loaded magazine. And from that article, it just happened that I then knew all their names. And then fast forward like fucking 10 years, I've met my wife and by this stage, and we're talking one day about All Saints. So I was like, oh, I know all their names. And from that moment forth, All Saints are a subject I'm not allowed to talk about. And I, she must just assume that I had some sort of weird crush on them when I was like 15, which wouldn't be too far from the truth, to be fair.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Number 18.
Didn't get number 18.
Oh no, I didn't get that.
We Know Speak Americano by Yolanda Would Be Cool. Number 19.
Is it Surfing USA?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't get it.
That's Wipeout.
Beach. Oh, fuck's sake. I was like, no, it's not Wipeout. Wipeout's too obvious.
It was Wipeout.
Didn't get number
20.
No.
You Know I'm No Good, Amy Winehouse.
So do I have 0 points? Because I got minus one. Oh no, but then I got two for knowing it was Red Hot Chili Peppers. So I'm on one.
You're on one, and Peter cleaned up.
Yeah, I got like 6 or 7 or something. And that's not even counting the ones where I got the artist and the song.
Peter cleans up.
Indeed.
Winner. Oh, Chris has got an iPhone.
Winner, winner. Winner, winner, and chicken dinner. Yeah, I know. We talked about this earlier on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's just I've just remembered something cool that I can do with an iPhone. I'm going to send you a text message after we finish recording.
I did that earlier.
What?
Is it what I think it is?
I don't know.
Is it an animal?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay.
I'll just send you a text message now, Chris, because it'll be funny. It doesn't play very well on a podcast, but...
Well,
listeners, amuse yourselves.
My phone's over there somewhere, so it's not going to play very well anywhere.
I don't want your excuses, Chris.
Well, I don't even know where it is. It's probably underneath some clothes. Are we going to move on, or...? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well done. I've only gone and done it wrong. Emails, questions, whatever, time. Get the thing up. That's not the right thing. I've been working too hard. I went to go to the 6-axis and I went to one of the internal work sites by mistake. What are you doing? What's...
Oh, this is awesome.
What?
I'm not doing anything, Chris. Right, I'm just sending you an awesome text thing. Message.
That one.
You're welcome.
Finding the podcast for it in the thingamajig. Oh, was it what good? Because we didn't get any questions in any other fucking way. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, it's really busy this week.
We have like one podcast question via Twitter. I got an email one now. I think I've got one. We should check.
I got some by the composition.
Yeah, that's a worry.
So what we're saying basically is that the success of this question section right. hinges very much on Solid Steven.
I'm gonna do my email. We'll do my email.
I won't lie, that doesn't fill me with confidence.
I got a couple in my email.
Okay, this is from Benjamin Rushholm, whose picture is quite nice. Because I freak Peter out with this because I have a little plugin for Gmail that looks up people's
easy like, killer
information on their watching on like, their social networks and stuff and pulls in the picture if they've got one. I told Peter I was freaked out because his eyes were staring at me. Piercing.
The MI5
piercing eyes. I guess it's Ben stitched in. Hello. Hope everyone had a great summer. I have started listening to the podcasts again, so I thought I'd write in with a question. What are your thoughts on cinema tickets, cinema ticket prices these days? Adult prices have hit £10 where I live. What are the costs like in your area? Do you also miss the days of cheap showings? Yes, I miss the days when it was cheap.
Holy yep. fuck.
What? Yeah, if you go you see
it now.
Holy Jesus.
I think yeah, £10 if you go £10 on if you go for an adult ticket on the to the weekend cinema. And you go to a 3D
film. Does that come with a free blowjob?
What I pay.
A normal ticket on any evening down here is £8.50. If it's 3D, it's £9.50.
If you want the VIP seat,
which are worse than the normal seats, it would be £10.50.
That's unbelievable. £6.20 into the big cinemas here. No matter what night you go. And sometimes, I think if you go to see a 3D thing... No, you don't. I think sometimes some cinemas it's like an extra pound for the glasses. To rent the glasses, you don't get to keep them. But other times, it's just free for the glasses. But if I went to a cinema window and the woman said, oh, that'll be £10, please, I'd be like, fuck right off.
Yeah, no, that's what we're used to now. The weird
I could go to the Sunday market and buy myself that on DVD cheaper than that.
If you go before four in the weekday, it's £4.
Yeah, my wife went once. We went to see Thor, I think, in the middle of the day, and it was like £3.20 each. Unbelievable. £10 for a cinema ticket, and they wonder why people are not going to the cinema so much.
Well, I didn't see it, but before we started the podcast, there was a thing on Watchdog. It said View, Odeon, and the other one are making phenomenal profits because they just charge too much. And then if you get Coke, like, obviously, the ticket's the best part of a tenner, and then if you get Coke and popcorn, you're looking at least another tenner.
Oh, yeah, the food's always been really expensive, so you sort of expect that. That's why you smuggled food in with you.
Which is why I don't go as often as I want, because it's you're looking at 20 quid.
Yeah, that is a bit much.
If you want to eat as well.
Yeah, that is just crazy. Although it does make you can buy season tickets for, like, is it Cineworld that does like a year-long pass thing?
Yeah.
Does make that sound quite good value, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good value, because then you pay like, I think it's like £20 a month or something, and you can go to as many as you want.
Yeah, I think...
See, I would get that. The trouble is there's no Cineworld near me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
View and Odeon.
But the little indie cinema that I go to quite a lot, if you're in Brighton, go to Duke of York's, it's awesome.
Sounds like a pub.
It does, doesn't it? But I pay... how much is it? Well, I think if I want the nice seat, it's like... It is about maybe £9. It might be £10. But that's for like a nice balcony seat. So you've got... so the screen's at a much nicer level. So it's kind of weird the first time you go. So instead of looking up, it's kind of like at your eye line level, which is actually a much nicer experience for watching. And also, your seat is a nice comfy armchair or a sofa.
Yeah, they had a VIP cinema section in one of the cinemas over here that has, I think it's like £12 a ticket, but you get like a double width seat and it's like armchair stuff and it's more comfortable and it reclines all the way back and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
They've just installed them in the view near me. No one, every time you go see a film, the only time you see people sitting there is if they're the only seats left because they're worse than the actual seats, which is just retarded.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous. So £10 for a cinema ticket. Jesus Christ. I wonder how much of that actually makes its way back to the studio and the artists.
I did. I do know the breakdown of it. And I can't remember it now for the life of me. But it's the majority of it does go to the filmmakers. That's why the food is so expensive, is because cinemas do take a small cut of the ticket price. Or that could have changed. Maybe that's why the prices are so high nowadays, is because they've decided they put a higher margin on them.
Although I imagine it is quite expensive to run a cinema. It's quite a big space to keep heated and keep standing.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Quite a lot of people, yeah.
Even so, I would not pay £10 to go to a cinema.
No. No, exactly.
Next that's question.
Too much.
I contacted View as well and said, you know, I write for Screen Demon, and do you do any press passes or anything like that? And they went, nope, we offer nothing like that at all. I was like, well, that's just fucking retarded.
Yeah, they might. Yeah. You might get, like, if it was in London or something, you might get one. There might be a cinema somewhere that does, like, press showings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Lewis, your questions.
I've got two. Let me just grab them up again. One from Fazalax. who says, which of the impending superhero movies are you most looking forward to? Dark Knight Rises, Spider-Man, Man of Steel, Avengers, or Dread? Dark Knight Rises, without a question.
Yeah, me too.
Although I am intrigued by the new Spider-Man film. But yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
I'm kind of looking forward to all of them, really. But especially Dark Knight Rises because of Nolan and how strong that series has been so far. And also because, I don't know, I'm more of a fan of Batman than any of the other superheroes these days.
Yeah.
Cool. Chris?
Was it favourite superhero?
Which of those movies are you most looking forward to?
I don't know. What were the options again? Is Batman...
You just weren't listening, were you?
No.
Dark Knight Rises, New Spider-Man, New Superman, Dread, or Avengers?
Avengers, probably.
I knew you were going to say Avengers. Fucking Marvel fanboy.
No, but I'm really looking forward to...
Joss Whedon.
I'm looking forward to Dark Knight Rises as well. But, like, and I don't miss it in a bad way, because it's not, because I love what Nolan's done with them, but we've kind of seen what Nolan does with it, if you know what I mean.
You want the novelty of something new.
Whereas with, the Avengers, it's something new, and we know so little about what it's going to be and that sort of stuff.
See, I have a real feeling that the Avengers movie is going to be a complete mess, because it's got so much going on.
Yeah, but I felt that way about Dark Knight Rises, so... Mm.
I think the Superman movie looks quite interesting too, just because of the direction that DC are taking Superman, and that seems to be spilling over into the movies as well. It seems to be a sort of a darker Superman.
Yeah, the best bit about the Superman, I'm loving the cast. It's not your typical, like Sally Field, I think, is a superb actress. I really rate Kevin Costner as well, although I know he gets a lot of bad press.
See, I think Kevin Costner in the right role is phenomenally good.
Yeah,
I think he's just done an awful lot of the wrong role in the past.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to see how the cast in Spider-Man, Superman sort of performs.
Yeah.
And my second question is from Daniel Bell, who won, and he says, I also have a question for the podcast.
He's probably even won the fucking quiz this week, that lad.
I used to love football games and was a Pro Evo fan during PS1, PS2 era. Since the time of the PS3, the Pro Evo games have not been great. I stopped buying them after 09. However, as nice as FIFA looks, the game could not hold my attention for more than half an hour or so. I cannot put my finger on what was wrong with it. Blah, 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 blah. I did download the Pro Evo 12 demo, though, the other day with low expectations, but was really surprised at how well it played. With that in mind, do you believe that Pro Evo can fight its way back to the top this year, or has it already fallen too far behind FIFA?
Right.
Also, do you know why they still have stupid team names in Pro Evo?
Yeah, because they haven't got the licensing.
Yeah, because the teams own the license to their own names.
Yeah.
It's like a copyright thing.
Yeah, whereas FIFA has the license for everything.
FIFA has a license with the Professional Footballers Association, the FIFA Pro.
Yeah, and obviously with FIFA as well.
Oh yeah, of course. Whereas Pro Evo, Konami have to go and sign individual deals with individual teams, which is why you only get like two Premier League teams per year.
Yeah. Because it's all they can really afford, because it's expensive. It's really expensive doing it on a team-by-team way, rather than just doing what EA did and go to FIFA and go, can we have every team in the world? And FIFA going, it's like X amount for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do I think that PES can rival FIFA again? Yeah, absolutely, yes. Not in terms of sales, but in terms of gameplay. I think that last year Pro Evo was different, but as good as FIFA. And I think that if they continue that upward curve, it could be better this year than FIFA in terms of gameplay, the way it was for like Pro Evo 5. And for the game, there was a few games before Pro Evo 5 where Pro Evo was a better game than FIFA.
Hmm.
And then they sort of fell off a bit.
But no, I totally think I think they can come back. FIFA is in no way like insurmountable. I mean, like you said, it's pretty much insurmountable in terms of sales, but in gameplay, no, it's not insurmountable at all.
Well, it's just the EA Sports budget and the brand name.
Yeah.
There's no way that anybody's going to be able to beat FIFA at marketing. But Pro Evo can definitely rival it in terms of gameplay. I thought last year, like I say, I thought last year it was very, very good. And I think that this year it has an awful lot of potential. So we'll see. And we'll see at the end of this month, I think. FIFA comes out at the end of September and Pro Evo is due out in the middle of October, I think. But we'll start seeing demos, I think, at the end of this month. Which will be awesome. And I'm also actively lobbying with EA and Konami to try and get preview code.
Yes, we are actively lobbying everyone to get preview everything.
Well, not so much. Alex kind of lobbies people on my behalf.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, those are the games that I really want to look at. So those are the games that I'm chasing the hardest. But they're also quite difficult to get a hold of. For example, when we asked I asked the guy that deals with Konami if I could have Pro Evo preview code, and he said no, because they are all out and they are all fingerprinted.
Okay.
That's how hardcore they are. You have to give your fingerprints to take a preview copy of the game out.
I'm not quite sure that's what that means.
What does it mean?
Do you not... I thought you were being sarcastic. Do you actually not know what he means?
No.
It means they burn a custom coffee that's got a digital fingerprint on it, so if it leaks...
I know, Chris.
Oh.
It's a digital fingerprint.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really hard to get them from Konami anyway.
I'm sorry, you did it so deadpan. That...
I know. And to be fair, that is the sort of thing that I would probably confuse half the time.
Yeah. That's why I was like, Peter surely must know this. But it is Peter, so...
Who knows?
Any other questions on the email? Nope. Good. Oh, fuck. Jesus. This is a really long podcast.
Last week.
No, that was really long. Last week. That's what really she said. In the forum question, Symposium says if Mankind... I was really disappointed because I thought it was about Mankind the Wrestler, but it's not. If Mankind ended up fighting to death by having a global food battle, will Earth survive?
A global what?
Food battle.
Every week Symposium breaks my mind with his questions.
I don't know what that means. America. Does that mean food fight? Or a battle for food? I don't know.
Let's just pretend it means food fight.
Oh, the Earth would probably survive that.
Yeah, probably. Who do we think would win? France would be throwing croissants and snails, so they'd obviously lose.
And baguettes.
Yeah.
Baguettes could be quite deadly if they were crusty.
Nah. That's true.
But America, just because of the sheer amount of food, like once you've run out, they'll still have millions of tons.
Probably. If you get into a war of attrition, America's going to win.
I know. You've got to think like Mexican or Indian. They throw chilies in your eyes. That's going to hurt.
Hmm. The Germans have quite firm sausage.
China has a lot of raw fish.
That's Japan.
And China.
Do they eat raw fish in China?
They eat anything in China.
Moving on.
We discussed Chinese people before.
Yeah, and it got cut. Big Al 1992 says, who's crazy?
They're all paedophiles.
Big Al 1992 says, who's crazy? Symposium or Solid Steven?
Oh my
Solid
God.
Steven.
That's
Solid Steven.
Yeah, I think Solid Steven is... that's actually a very good question for a start. I think Solid Steven is crazy on a persistent basis, where Symposium pops up once a week and baffles me.
Yeah.
But yeah, good point well made.
Most of these aren't questions. They're just like posts about stuff that's happening in the thread.
Really? A TSA forum thread that's gone off topic.
It's amazing, isn't it? I really asked a question from him. Here we go. Ollie Bob says pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Oh, wait, does that mean I get a deciding vote?
No. Pasta's rubbish.
But he's going to say pizza. He has pizza every podcast.
Pasta would just stick to people. Pizza, you could actually throw like a frisbee. And if you overcooked it, it'd be hard.
We're not talking about a fight.
It's not a fight. This is just in terms of what you like to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were still on the food fight.
No.
I thought this was like a little regional scuffle with the Italians.
Plus, uncooked spaghetti to the eye, I defy you to survive that.
Oh, you're eating dried spaghetti, aren't you?
Yes.
See, nothing but the fresh stuff for me.
Fresh is worse for you.
Is it?
Yeah. If you're on a diet, you can eat as much dry pasta as you want, but you can't with fresh pasta.
Is that because it's actually cardboard?
Yes, it's made of dust.
Also, I'd like to point out, it depends what diet you're on.
And it also depends where you're eating it.
Other diets are available. Consult your medical health professional.
Well, I mean, the diet I'm on, I'm not allowed pasta or rice or potatoes.
Or bread. That's a ridiculous diet.
Chris, that's not a diet. That's anorexia.
No. It's just cutting out lots of carbs.
Oh, like the Atkins.
Yeah, like, kind of like that.
Hmm. Is it working?
A little bit. I have to see.
His kidneys aren't.
Yeah.
It's hard because you have to eat lots of kidney beans, which I don't like very much.
Don't eat them then. Eat a potato.
But then I won't lose any weight.
I'll just cave in, do it.
No.
Can you eat cream cakes?
No.
On what the diet point? I'm on, you can eat as many of them as you want.
Well, I can eat cream cakes on Saturday if I want. Because you're allowed to
cheat. Oh, I don't know how anybody has the time.
You're allowed to cheat one day a week.
Where do you eat? You're not allowed to eat in the park.
Why am I not allowed to eat in the park? Picnics are a normal thing to do in a park.
Yeah, picnics are fine.
What?
Picnics are fine. See, you're absolutely right there. Picnics are allowed.
But so you go to a picnic, but you're not allowed to eat at the picnic.
No, you can go to a picnic and you can eat if it's a picnic. But you can't stray outside the rules of a picnic. You can't go to like a park bench and eat your lunch.
Peter, can you please help me?
I don't know. What am I supposed to say?
Lewis, you're insane.
No, I'm not. It's logic.
Why is it logic?
Because
oh, God.
Is. Picnics, okay. They are okay. And you can eat at picnics. They are designed for parks. Their picnics, by their very nature, are designed for outside areas.
Well, yeah, an indoor
going
picnic would be
shit. To
sit
on a bench and eat like a sausage roll? No, no. Move on, son.
Well, what about eating while you're like walking down the street?
No, I hate that.
No.
I seriously hate walking down the street eating.
Yeah, I'm with Lewis on that one. That's wrong. You shouldn't walk while you eat.
Are you so incapable of multitasking that you can't like walk and eat at the same time? Just get distracted.
No, it's just
walk into a lamppost.
It's wrong.
It's yeah, no, that is wrong. You can't walk and eat at the same time. That's just weird.
Plus, it means you must be really hungry. Wait until you've stopped, then eat. Go and find a little calf. Go and sit in there and eat. Don't walk and eat at the same time.
Or find one of Lewis's specially dedicated picnic zones.
Yes, a picnic area.
Get a letter from the picnic supervisor that says that you're allowed to eat.
That's it.
What are the designated rules of a picnic, then?
If you want to read whilst you're at your picnic, you
so
need to go and get a picnic topic. A picnic combined reading zone.
A permit. You have to apply 6 weeks in advance.
Yep.
And you have to file in triplicate.
So how do you define a picnic?
A picnic is a blanket.
Yeah, but what if you eat a picnic at picnic benches, not on a blanket?
You put the blanket over the bench. To signify that you're having a picnic.
So if you have a picnic minus the blanket, that doesn't count.
No, that's just eating on the floor. Which is a no-no. And why would you? Why would you go for a picnic and not take a blanket?
Perhaps you don't have a blanket.
No, you wouldn't go for a picnic then. That's the fundamental element of a picnic. It's not necessarily the food. It's the blanket. It signifies that you are sitting
wait,
in a
wait,
lawn.
So what if you go with the blanket but no food? Is that still a picnic?
That's not a picnic, but that's allowed.
That's being homeless.
Because you're designating yourself an area to sit on and enjoy the sun.
Lewis, can you... You've got
and be... that, you could also read at.
Lewis, you've got to be taking the piss, right? Please tell me you're taking the piss.
No, I'm not. I'm seriously not. Jesus.
Oh. Right,
it's like beach. When you go to the beach, you have to have a towel. Like to eat when you get your cool box out.
More questions, anyone? before I literally die laughing.
What's wrong with him?
It's common sense.
No, it's not. Know,
but I think I've pulled a muscle laughing at him.
It is common sense.
Right. Moxie Blown says, in the trailer for Modern Warfare 3, Game Loft's iOS Modern Warfare clone. Oh, sorry, Modern Combat 3, Game Loft's iOS Modern Warfare clone. We get to see a recurring feature in the modern FPS, the helicopter crash. Seriously, it's as much a part of FPSs now as the obligatory slow motion, kick the door and clear the room with a pistol, even though you had an awesome rifle just moments before a bit. Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, Battlefield 2, Bad Company 2, Battlefield Bad Company 2. Whenever a mission ends with me climbing in a helicopter, you know the next one starts with me crawling out of the wreckage. Fly a chopper over dead Dakistan. No thanks. I think I'll take the Humvee. Those never blow up.
Which isn't a question, but it's an awesome intro to a question.
There's a question. This is the question. The question's like one line long. That was two paragraphs.
What's the actual question?
Are there any gaming movie comic cliches you guys think are overused? He could have just asked that. I don't know.
Gaming cliches.
Okay, a cliche in movies I hate. Anything that references that, like, oh, this situation's too crazy, that kind of thing.
I don't know what you mean.
And everything from the horror genre.
I don't understand.
What do you mean
by that crazy thing?
Oh, you always get people who are like, oh, God, man, it's crazy out there, that kind of stuff. That always pisses me off.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that in games either. The comedy sidekick.
Yeah. And then always that they're like pretty much everything from the horror genre.
The horror genre
is just one giant cliche at this point.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, there are obviously like a few exceptions, but in general, it's a cliche that it got to the point where it had gotten bad at the point of Scream, which is a horror movie that is based on cliches.
Yeah, which is okay, that's fine, but haven't they made like 7 Scream movies now?
They're on 4 now.
Jesus.
But then they made Scary Movie, which was a spoof of a spoof.
Yeah, which at that point was just like, what are you even doing? You can't spoof a spoof. A spoof of a spoof is just a serious film.
It's like a double negative.
Yeah.
If you're spoof a spoof, you're just making a normal horror film at that point. And also, why are horror films not like old school horror films now? Well, you never see horror films like fucking Frankenstein anymore. That angers me. I want a new Frankenstein movie.
They are remaking Frankenstein.
Yes!
And they're also remaking... what's it called? I've forgotten it.
I don't know.
Another old school Hammer horror film they're remaking.
Awesome. Any cliches you hate, Lewis?
Shitload.
Okay, fair enough. Peter?
Lewis hates the cliche of speaking English in movies.
Oh, it's like fucking everyone does it. Jesus.
God, get with the time. Peter? It's all about foreign language people.
Peter, anything you hate?
I hate the cliche of people sitting on park benches reading.
I don't like comedy sidekicks. I don't like the extra little bolted on character that you get to play 2 levels as just because he's a little bit funny. And then they cram all the supposed comedy lines into him.
I'm talking
about Clank and Daxter and all that sort of shit.
Tony Cooley has two questions. We're moving on. Tony Cooley has 2 questions.
My biggest cliche is when somebody dies or they think they die and then they come back to save the day.
Oh,
I really don't like that.
That's like every comic book ever.
You mean like Han Solo returning at the end of Star Wars and blowing up the Death Star?
Well, no, because you didn't think he was dead.
No, because you didn't think he was dead.
You just thought he'd pissed off.
No, you thought he'd gone away.
Yeah, but that's not quite the same thing.
Oh, okay.
No, I hate the ones where they make it look like they've been killed, and then at the end they'll try and use it like as a surprise. Oh, he's not dead! Yay! You think no? Fuck off! Should have just killed him.
All right. Tony Cooley has two questions. I don't know which one I like. I like this one. What about the use of throwing knives as weapons in modern war games? Seriously, they're not ninjas. I bet nobody has ever died by throwing knife in a modern war. They'll be carrying nunchucks and shurikens next.
How do you know, though? Because they don't say how they die. They just say another soldier has been killed in Afghanistan or wherever.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't say another soldier has been killed by throwing knife.
I think he's got a point, though. I don't think it's standard issue. I don't think they're like, here's your dodgy camo gear, here's your boots, here's your pack of throwing knives. Knock yourselves out. I think it's quite a specialist thing to have to get a hold of.
But well, in which case, I think we need to write to the Ministry of Defence and get them standard issue.
If you think quite normally, though, they're not throwing a throwing knife, which actually makes it more unrealistic. They're throwing like a combat knife, but they're probably not balanced right to throw.
If you throw it hard enough, it'll stick.
Or a tomahawk.
Oh.
Yeah. One of them, they threw a tomahawk, didn't they? One of the, was that?
Yeah, Call of Duty, you get tomahawks.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Tomahawk.
Which is way less realistic. Seriously, who carries a tomahawk in modern war?
But I think that's born out of the cliches from other films. It's always like when they have like that group of hardcore soldiers, there's always one of them that's a bit of a knife specialist.
Yeah.
Final question. Final question from the Twitters. What the fuck? From Audio Worm. I don't know what this means. Do monopods make good lightsabers? What's a monopod?
Oh, monopods. This is a reference to me. A monopod is like a tripod, but it only has one leg.
Oh, okay.
So, it does fall over. It's not for standing up.
Is that not...
Leaning.
Yeah. I say, is that not terribly like against the point of a stand?
No, it gives you like 80% more stability on long lens shots, apparently. Something like that.
Cool.
Just because you have that connection to the floor, so it's all a solid base.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Do they make good lightsabers?
I bought a monopod this week. It arrived from Amazon for the video stuff that we're going to be doing at Eurogamer Expo.
Oh, do we have a video? Do we have a camera?
No, we don't have a camera yet. We will have a camera soon.
You're like, right. I'm going to buy these things in the right order.
Yeah, monopod I'm getting first, prepared.
Camera, that'll come at some point, but we've got the monopod, so it's fine.
You see, I can afford the monopod this week. I can't afford the camera until I get paid. So I bought the monopod. But when the monopod arrived, literally the first thing I did with it was pretend it was a lightsaber. And it makes quite a decent lightsaber. You kind of have to extend it. It extends in like four sections, and you kind of have to extend one of the sections so that it's the right sort of length. But then it's got a nice spongy handle on it, so it's a decent lightsaber.
Cool. Right, that'll do it for questions.
I also bought a shoulder brace. So I have like a pistol grip, tripod head, and a shoulder brace. So basically now I can hold a video camera like it's a rifle.
Awesome.
Yeah. These things excite me.
Right. I'm so confused by this podcast. This has been episode 35 and probably the craziest episode of the podcast in quite a long time.
It was quite crazy.
What the fuck is Lewis, what's wrong with you?
Nothing, it's common sense.
No, it's not. I've been your host, Chris Lipscomb. Get me twitter.com/howprobe and join us per normal. By editor of GMA nominated website sixaxis.com and editor and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. You can get it at twitter.com/colossalblue. I've also been joined by editor in chief of screendemon.com, Lewis Gaston. You can get him at twitter.com/_LewisGaston. Thank you all for listening to episode 35 of the Oscar Mike Media podcast. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. It's not common sense.
It is common sense.
No, you convinced yourself it's common sense, but I don't know anyone else who has those rules.
Well, everyone else is flawed.
I think maybe Lewis is just a little bit more strict with those rules than most people would be.
Why wouldn't you take a blanket if you were going for a picnic?
That's not common sense. No, that is not an odd bit. I will give you that. That is fair enough. but the fact that you can't eat outside if it's not at a picnic.
No, it's wrong.
And you can't read in the park. I don't even know what the reason for that is.
Because it's weird and suspicious. It is.
Only to you and people in like ancient spy films where they cut the bits out of newspapers.